Our first reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and do good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord.
Almighty God, we are grateful to be in your presence, to be with your people, your community of faith. Thank you for the opportunity to express our love to you by singing, by lifting our voices. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins as we experienced again today your grace. Thank you for the anticipation of meeting with you around your table this morning. And thank you for your word that speaks to all of us. And my prayer is that we will now be silent, receptive, and that you will truly penetrate our hearts and our minds. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Every person of faith deals with doubts and struggles with questions about God, about faith, about life. So in this series called Questions to God, we've been looking at some of those questions, like who is God? And is the Bible reliable? And today, why should I go to church? Now, you're at church, so I hope this message goes beyond those who are here today, but why should I go to church? And it's important to note that, you know, there's no shame in asking questions, okay? There's no shame in having doubts. You're not failing God to have questions, and no one person knows everything about God. And so we all doubt from time to time, and we all have these questions that touch the intersection of biblical faith and the pain of a fallen world. And so it's not sinful or wrong, and it can actually often be a catalyst to new growth, to have some questions and doubt. To start us off this morning, I'm going to ask Andy Nagrasa to come to the front because I want to ask her about a story about how this community of faith has blessed her, how this church has positively impacted her life. So Andy, come on up. Come stand here with me, Andy. Yeah. So, a number of years ago, you went through a very difficult period in your life. Do you want to just set the stage for us a little bit?
I just took something from my throat, so excuse me. I'm sucking a candy. Many years ago, I was diagnosed with a life-threatening cancer, and I was told I was not going to make it. And what I didn't share with you is I had to come to the realization that the doctors told me I wasn't going to make it, then I had to come to a realization with God that, okay, I got to stay calm. And my first thought was my two children. Second thought was for my husband, who had lost his first wife to cancer. And didn't want to leave him with those two kids, so I made a pact with God that if they spared me, I would do more of what I was doing already. One of the members of the church, Pascal Hainlein, was a friend. The girls were in school together, and I wasn't a member. And she came, and as you asked for, is there anyone we should pray for, she asked the congregation, I don't know how many of you remember, but to pray for Andy LeCary, LaGrassa. And is there anything we could do? And Pascal said, well, she can't digest food, so soup. And we had this brigade of soup coming to the front door, to the side door, and just a note, like people didn't even leave. They left and they said, you know, soup from community church. And I would go to the front door and answer it, then there would be somebody at the side door. I had so much soup. And I was blessed. And then late on Sunday night, Hunter, who was this big, came to me, and I had no hair. I had a little babushka on, and I was trying to maintain a presence in front of my kids. I did my best acting I ever did in front of my children. And Hunter said, Mommy, tomorrow is my day to bring in cupcakes. I need 24 cupcakes. 8 o'clock at night, he tells me this. And I just looked at him and said, oh, Hunter, Mommy is not in shape to bake cupcakes at this hour. And he just looked at me, and we're standing in the kitchen, and somebody knocks on the side door. And it's a person I've never met before, a blonde lady. She says, hi, I'm from community church. And I'm looking for a pot of soup. And she says, I don't cook, I don't make soup, but I make cupcakes. I'm trying to get through this without crying. And she said, comes in, and Hunter looks at me. And she says, who doesn't like cupcakes? So she said, I made 24 cupcakes. And Hunter looks at me. And I look at her, I start to cry. Hunter, smart little guy, grabs the cupcakes and, and runs. And this woman was Linda Mulay. And she's crying. I'm crying. And she said, God works in cupcakes. That's the takeaway. And we embrace. At the end of all this, I did not die. I am here. I stayed calm. That's the key to a lot of these therapies. Sometimes the therapies can kill you. I did stay calm. I went back to work. That helped me the most. Going back to work, I kept my distance. People didn't recognize me because of the golden flocks I have. Didn't have it. And I said to Pascal, you know, I would like to repay community church. What can I do? And Pascal simply said, you know what, we have a coffee hour. Why don't you come? You don't even have to attend services. Come, and I'll tell everyone coffee hour is on the LaGrassa family. And I did coffee hour. But we did slip in the back of the service. And we have been here ever since. Ed's the property manager, and I do whatever I can, fundraising, et cetera. So we are here for reasons of being part of the community and social and relaxation and comfort and you.
We are so happy to have the LaGrassas, but thank you for sharing that story. You know, it's a beautiful story of how the church can have an impact on someone's life.
And God works in cupcakes. You could use that in your service. I give you permission.
Thank you, Andy. Yeah, I know God works in mysterious ways. I never knew he works in cupcakes as well, but it's a great line. Again, thank you for sharing that with us. So, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic did many things to our society and our world, as a matter of fact. But things that we're still living with, you know, some consequences as a result. And one of those effects was that it isolated us from community. It clearly showed us the negative effects of not having regular moments of connection. And so we've seen a rise in depression and feelings of isolation. As a matter of fact, studies have shown that there's an ailment linked to increased heart attacks, depression, diabetes, crime, and premature death in the U.S. And it's impacting people no matter where they live or who they are. You know what that is? The ailment of loneliness. Loneliness. And this past Tuesday, Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, I don't know if you saw this, released an advisory on loneliness and isolation and urged people and public officials to treat the matter the same urgency as other serious conditions such as obesity and drug abuse, as it continues to surge, affecting approximately half of the people living in the United States. He mentioned that in recent years, about one in two adults in America reported experiencing loneliness. And that was before the COVID-19 pandemic, before it cut off so many of us from friends and loved ones and support systems. You see, strong, steady friendships may be an asset not just to your emotional health, but also to your physiological health. And COVID-19 has reminded us that we were created to be social beings. Community with God, community with others is hardwired into our DNA. And at least one very good reason why you should come to church is because the church provides fellowship and community, which can help relieve the serious ailment of loneliness. Psalm 100, our Old Testament reading for this morning, was originally written as a hymn. It was something that the people of Israel would sing as they entered the temple in Jerusalem. Now imagine that, you know, you've been traveling for miles and miles on foot, and now you're standing at the bottom of the Temple Mount, and you're waiting to climb the that lead to the only place you believed God's presence was revealed on earth. How excited would you be to go meet with God? And this hymn was the means by which people expressed their joy and excitement as they climbed the stairs up to the temple. And Psalm 100 is filled with imperative verbs. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that he is God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. The people were commanded to express all of this passion. Listen to this. Together. Together. The people will intimately know God. This passionate, life-changing event doesn't happen individually. It can't happen individually. It happens together. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. God's people will experience God's goodness together. So you see, community was very, very important to the Old Testament people. And we see the importance of community in the New Testament as well. The Apostle Paul says, you are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. I'm not Christ's body. We are Christ's body. So what we have in the church is one body with many different parts. And no part is important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, get lost. I don't need you. Or head telling foot, you're fired, all right? Your job has been passed out, phased out. No, it's the body. We need each other to be functional. We need each other to be healthy. We are better together. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? Now, when Paul uses the terms body of Christ and temple of the Holy Spirit, it's rooted in this idea of community, embedded in the importance of the kind of community we find in Psalm 100. You are not the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm not the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We experience God more powerfully in and through each other. We experience God more powerfully in the church community. And so, says Paul, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. It says, don't avoid worshiping together as some do. Let us come together and encourage one another in love. Let us spur each other on. Let me ask you, you know, has the community of God been a blessing for you? Earlier, I mean, we listened to Andy's testimony. But what about you? Have you ever had a similar experience? I certainly hope so. Or has the church community hurt you? Or made you feel like an outsider? If that's the case, then I want to say to you that I'm so, so sorry that that had happened. Because that's not who the church community is supposed to be. That is never God's intention for a fellowship of believers to hurt one another or to make someone feel unwelcome. And I pray that if that's you, that you will overcome the hurt that that has caused. And that you will somehow experience, the blessing of a loving community of faith. Psalm 100 proclaims that we are called to enter His place together with joy and passion. You've been called to this place to experience God with each other. We can't do this alone. So just look around you. Because of your fellow believers and worshipers, you can experience the powerful presence of God today. And if you're angry with someone, with someone in this community, then you need to make peace with them. And if you need to ask someone in this fellowship of faith for forgiveness, I encourage you to do so today. Because our worship and our experience of God is inhibited when we distance ourselves from each other. And one more thing. If you, like Andy, have been blessed by this church community, why don't you share it with someone else? Why don't you tell them your story and spread the word? Tell someone. Invite them to CCD. There's this FRAN acronym that we'll be putting up on the screen that you can use to help you think of maybe a friend or maybe a relative or an acquaintance or a neighbor. Pray that God will bring to mind a person or persons in one of or more of those categories and simply invite them to CCD. Say something like, "Hey, there's this church that I go to on Sundays. I don't have to go, okay? I don't have to go. I want to go. Because there's love. And because with others there, I can experience God's love and God's presence. Why don't you come with me? Come check it out." Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, I want to thank you today for Andy's story, the LaGrassa story. And I know it's not the only story in this church. I know there are so many more stories of how people were blessed by this community of faith. And I give you praise and thanks for that because that comes from your love in people's hearts. And I pray that we as a community will love to go to your house, not feel obligated or guilty in any way, but come here because we want to, because we enjoy it, because we enjoy your people, because we love being in fellowship with your people, because we love to be in worship together and experience your love and your presence here, but also through the touches and the love of other people in our lives. May you be glorified by our presence here today. In your name we pray. Amen.